Rave Radio. Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. Well, it's suddenly deep in autumn here in the New York area, and I decided we'd talk to somebody who was someplace much warmer. So later on in the show, we'll be talking with Terry Friesenberg, Vice President of Infocom, about the Infocom Middle East and Africa show currently going on in Dubai. Anyway, we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a truly innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about their unique signage solution at www.hypersign.com. The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound, who make a huge variety of audio product to fill the needs of the AV industry. And more about them can be found at www.atlassound.com. But listen, while you're here on Rave Radio, take a listen to our other podcasts like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here, on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we try to bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects important to our industry. And so, before we go on to our interview segment, let's talk about what's going on in the world of AV. Well, Harman has announced the acquisition of yet another Harman Audio company, privately held Duran Audio BV. The acquisition provides Harman with access to innovative electroacoustic and software-based directivity control technologies, including the successful Axis IntelliVox line of steerable columns. Founded in the Netherlands by Gerrit Duran in 1981, Duran Audio has earned a strong reputation for its Axis range of professional audio products, including loudspeakers, amplifiers, signal processors, and network devices. Duran Audio pioneered modern loudspeaker beam steering and beam shaping, which are essential to addressing demanding acoustic environments. The company has also established a leading position in audio solutions for European EN54 safety applications and software technologies for audio design. The Axis products and core technologies will become an integrated part of the Harman Professional Audio line. Watch them as they grow even more. Also, the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers has announced that the SMPTE 2013 symposium, Next Generation Imaging Formats, More, Faster, and Better Pixels, will feature the largest collection of 4K UHD equipment yet presented in a single room. Offered in conjunction with the SMPTE 2013 annual technical conference and exhibition, the one-day symposium will take place on October 21st in Hollywood, with the complimentary 4K UHD demo area remaining open throughout October 23rd. The SMPTE 2013 annual technical conference and exhibition runs from October 22nd to 24th. Both events take place at the Loews Hollywood Hotel in Los Angeles, California. Further details about the event, including registration, are available at www.simpte2013.org. For those of you who haven't been to a SMPTE event, they are usually technically very well underpinned, and I'd highly recommend them. NEC Display has added a 65-inch model to its touch-integrated V-Series. The commercial-grade panel and components promote extended use and deliver superior touchscreen capabilities for digital signage and video wall applications in education, corporate, retail, and restaurant environments. NEC's V652-TM display offers digital signage users interactive capabilities with full HD resolution at a cost-conscious price. Within the touch-integrated V-Series bezel is an integrated low-profile four-camera optical imaging technology that allows for up to six simultaneous touches. Its anti-reflective glass coating protects the panel and allows for higher brightness transmittance. The specs are on NEC's website at www.necdisplay.com. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more demand for multi-touch over touch capability, and I'm interested in taking a look at this. Anyway, you can find out more about these things and the news as news breaks on this and many other stories at www.ravepubs.com. And now, let's go on with our interview for the week. As I mentioned at the top of the show, with me today will be longtime friend and Infocom Vice President Terry Friesenberg talking to us from the show in Dubai. Well, folks, as I mentioned near the top of the show, with me today is Terry Friesenberg, who is Senior Vice President International Development with Infocom, and he is right now at Infocom Middle East Africa. Is that correct?
That's correct, Joel, here in Dubai.
In lovely Dubai. Terry, tell us a little bit about the show itself and how it came about to be an Infocom show.
Absolutely, Joel. Well, this is one of the few shows where we co-locate with another show. We're co-located with Jitex. It is the largest IT show in the Middle East. And we did it strategically because, well, we can certainly have a show here in the Middle East for our trade. When you look at the size of the market, about 3.5% of the worldwide AV market, according to our last MDSS study in 2012. It's going to be a fairly small show for a fairly small industry here. A lot of the work here is done, all the work is done in Dubai and the Emirates by expats. It's about 90% of the population here. High turn in terms of people often. And we really wanted to reach not only our trade, but also the buying community as a benefit to the exhibitors and the local trade. The co-location with Jitex offers us the ability to reach hundreds and thousands of people that come to that IT show who may or may not take the time to come to an AV-specific show, but certainly find the time to come across the hall and visit with us. So we think it's a great strategic location. We've got a partnership. It's a joint venture project with Dubai World Trade Center, who run Jitex and own the center, obviously. So it's been a great place for us to launch the show 3 years ago, and we're now in our third year. And we're looking forward to being here for the foreseeable future.
Tell me a little about the numbers. How big is the show?
Well, as you know, we don't release any numbers till after the show.
Come on.
I'm sorry, can't do it. It's been a good show for us. So we did about 12,000, a little over 12,000 last year. Jitex itself is in that 50,000 to 60,000 category. So we're looking forward to a good show this year. We spent a lot of effort this year on marketing within the facility to get the Jitex crowd to come over to see us. So that's really been our focal point in terms of our marketing, besides the normal marketing that we would do throughout the region. It's a very regional show. You certainly see people from the Emirates here, but you know, Bahrain, Saudi, Kuwait, Qatar, all the way up into Lebanon, all the way over to Pakistan, Iran, Iraq. So it exposes us to a market that's rather exceptional in terms of the geographic diversity and the diversity of the attendee as well.
Well, I would think. I mean, what you just said about Dubai, 90% expats?
Around there. You hear 80 to 90, but yeah. All of the actual business activities that we would see in our industry are all done by expat organizations.
Wow. Okay, so it's kind of the Casablanca of today.
Yeah, well, I haven't found Rick in the bar yet, but yeah.
Well, I would think that would be a challenge in Dubai, too. Tell me, you know, you and I have done shows all over the world. And one of the things that's interesting to me is you look at a still of a trade show, and it's a trade show. It has booths and aisles and people talking. But when you're in one in a different part of the world, there are different dynamics. I mean, Europe has a very different crowd dynamic than does, you know, a show here in the United States. I mean, it's much more social. It takes longer, and it's harder to find your way around, especially at places like the Rai. What makes doing a show in the Middle East different?
Well, it is different, Joel, and I think the attendee base is quite different. Certainly, like I said, we're 80 to 90% expats here in the community. So they're from all over the world, very cosmopolitan group. But when you start getting to the Emiratis and to the others who are coming from the region, who are native to the region, you know, they have a different way of looking at things here. I mean, this is a very new culture. If you think about it, 60 years ago, there was really nothing here. What they have done in the Emirates, and particularly Dubai, in the last 30 years is just exceptional. It is, you know, obviously it has the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. It's an architect's playground. It certainly got hit a bit in 2009 with the slowdown, but it no longer has the majority of the world's construction cranes. But you're seeing construction coming back online here. And also Saudi's a big part of the attendee base too. So it's a different feel. It's a state-of-the-art facility. It's not challenging in terms of the logistics. But there is a slower pace, I think, on the floor, just in terms of people walk around, they take a little more time in the stands, they engage in a different way. And we try to cater to that, as we do in all of our shows, all 11 of them worldwide now.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because if I look back years, as you will well recall, my friend Harold Teal and I put on a huge campaign to try and bring Infocom to Toronto at one point. And it was logistically difficult to do, and I understand that. What about the logistics of, say, a manufacturer from here doing a show in Dubai? Do they make it easier?
Yes. There are rules here, certainly. Last week, for example, was a holiday week. So if you did not get your equipment shipped early and get it cleared through customs early, we had some folks waiting at the last minute to see equipment showing up. And those are things that on a global calendar are hard to project, because a lot of these holidays are truly local. So there are those kinds of challenges. But as you know, Dubai is business centric. It really promotes itself as the gateway to the Middle East. So it has an environment that encourages business. There are free trade zones, for example, here just outside of Dubai, where a lot of our industry works. Other parts of our industry work within the community. There are rules about ownership here. So if you're working outside of the free trade zone, you will have an Emirati ownership participation. But it's as anywhere you go outside of your home market, you have to do your homework, you have to do your research, you have to understand what the potentials are, how distribution works, and the basic bureaucracy that every country has, including the United States or anywhere else, that you have to work through to get your products imported and be able to distribute them.
Hey, I'm the kind of guy that accidentally had a show land in Boston on Patriots Day once. Couldn't discover why crew wasn't there. Anyway, here in the United States, we see, you know, some exciting growth markets. Obviously, the unified communications market and the digital signage market seem to be what everybody's talking about here. Is that the same in the Middle East, or are there other growth markets to be looking at there?
Well, that is certainly a growth market here. I will tell you that one of the interesting things, and this is back to my earlier comment about it being a fairly new market, in the U.S. and in Europe, we have an industry that has deep roots. Infocom is going to celebrate its 75th anniversary next year. So we've been around a while, and as you and I have been around a while and worked together for a long time, we've seen a change from a silver-based slide-oriented, film-oriented industry into CRT video, and then moving on past that in terms of the evolution of projection technology, now flat panel displays. So that's sort of our roots, and we come from that. Here, you find very few of our integration community that only does AV. They see it as a unified communications platform. So I would tell you that in terms of embracing the entirety of the low voltage sector, whether it's VoIP or whether it's AV or whether it's security or whether it's IT, quite frankly, this market in terms of that convergence is much farther along than some of the more traditional markets that have that history behind them.
Well, actually, I was, you describe it as history, but since I don't have to be politically correct, I can describe it as baggage. if you didn't have to have all that history, isn't that rather the model for what you would do today?
I think it would be, yes. There are ups and downs. History is a good teacher, as well as potentially baggage. And obviously, you have to let go of the bad and maintain the good. So I think what you see here are oftentimes people who come into it from the AV side, people who come into it from the UCC side, the IT side. What we're really pleased about is in sitting and talking to members over the last few days. GITEX, by the way, is a five-day show. So is Infocom Middle East Africa. So you have a lot of time to have some conversations with folks. We're beginning to see CTS being spec'd in terms of specifications coming out of the design community. We're really beginning to see an awareness of what Infocom and what our certification programs are all about. So, you know, the professional skill set that we see here on the AV side can be very, very high end. And certainly that combination, that convergence of all these technologies coming together to form that unified communications platform, you see here, and you see it working here. There are dynamics here about how things are purchased. You know, the saying here is, you know, it takes 8 months to make a decision and they want it done in 8 days. That's a cultural thing, probably more so. I know we've all experienced that, but certainly you find it here more so than other places in the world.
They just sound like a hedge fund.
Yeah. So there are a lot of challenges here, and certainly there are challenges in terms of how you deal with various sectors. But you see a lot of people here. You know, Shen Milson-Wilkie has an office here, and so do many others. There are many of our global integration firms that have offices here as well, along with a lot of locals. So it's a very diverse marketplace, but it is a much more integrated marketplace in terms of the technology set.
What do you think has been exciting shown on the floor? What's the crowd responding to? You don't have to mention brand.
Well, no, and obviously you know that I wouldn't. But, you know, it's interesting because you get a lot of people coming from that other side through the Gitex. And it is what we always do. It's those large displays. It's that interactivity. There are brands out there with wonderful motion sensing interactivity that they're showing. And, you know, people are engaging with that and the large touch panels and all those kinds of things. So I think that's what you see. You know, it's a small market, a very important market, yet a relatively small market. We're not seeing product launches here as we would at ISE or Infocom in the U.S. or even Infocom China. But we are seeing people really engaging with the technology and looking at how it impacts them and their business lives.
Well, one would think we would see that wherever we go. I have one curious thing, which is, you know, I know of Dubai as an incredibly modern city. My only experience in the Middle East has been in Riyadh, where, as you mentioned, I was very nervous about going there to work until I found out that all five of the guys I was going to work with from Saudi Aramco were from Chicago. You know, the digital signage market especially is one that we've all been talking about a lot lately. In a city that modern, is that an exploding market or is it taken for granted?
I would say it's a market that will explode. You don't see it as pervasively as you do in a Singapore or New York or any of those other kinds of places. You see it being implemented, I think, somewhat cautiously. At the show, the government just announced a real effort to make Dubai a smart city. But remember, it has deep cultural roots as well. So while it is very modern, and that all you say is very true, and there certainly are many implementations of digital signage, it's not really as pervasive as you would think it might be, given all the other signs that you see.
Okay, well then let's get off the show floor for 1 second before I let you go, which is, you know, you and I are always going out to find someplace local to eat, someplace to see local culture. What have you seen in Dubai that you like?
Well, you know, it is a very cosmopolitan culture. I had a great time the other evening. We had dinner at Atmospheres, which is on the 122nd floor of the Burj Khalifa. So, you know,
do they have to give you oxygen?
You would think, wouldn't you? Yeah. You're way up there, let me tell you. There are great restaurants of all kinds. Given that it's expat community, if you can think of an ethnic food that you'd like to have, you can find a place to have it here. Obviously, there's also the mesa platters and all the kinds of things that you would associate with the Middle East as well. But it is such a diverse population that is absolutely reflected in all the eateries and all the activities that you can engage in. You can do anything from skiing at Ski Dubai, which is an indoor skiing facility that has a penguin, meet the penguin sort of environment as well, to going and dune bashing. So You know, you name it, they have it here. You know, one of the malls here has an aquarium that would rival any aquarium in the United States where you can go swim with the sharks. So, you know, it's somewhat Disney-esque or Vegas-esque, if you will, with a Middle Eastern flavor and a business culture. So it's a fascinating city.
What's the temperature there today?
Oh, temperature is a little over 90.
Uh-huh. And let me, one final personal question. Are you going straight from there to Moscow?
Yeah, yes, I am, Joel. Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, with a cold, that's going to be all kinds of fun.
And it was interesting to pack as well.
Well, you can always ship ahead. Anyway, Terry, thanks so much for being with us today, and best of luck with the last part of the show.
Thank you, Joel. It's been my pleasure.
Well, that's all we have time for, so we've come to the end of another episode here on The Week. But join us again next time. Don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Hypersign and Atlas Sound, for helping us bring you this show. Check out great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks one more time for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.